Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, your teacher and preacher here on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. I hope that you are having a fruitful summer and taking some time out to spend in the presence of the Lord. I'm coming to you at this time because we have a need that I would like to share with you. We have fallen behind in paying for our radio time and would like for you to join us in making up this shortfall. I know the show has blessed many people throughout the years. Some have even taken the time to write and let me know what the show has meant to them. Here is one of those letters. Pastor Glaze, I listen to you on Word FM. Thank you for your faithfulness to God's Word. Your messages have been encouraging to me so many times, just what the divine physician ordered to help me spiritually when I was in need. Your latest messages have come just in time during an especially trying time of my life. May God continue to bless, strengthen, and encourage you. Wow, what a letter. Any financial assistance that you can give will enable us to continue to help people like this dear soul who wrote this message. The show has especially touched those who are incarcerated, who write and ask for materials, but of course are not able to contribute. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Would you please consider a tax-deductible gift to help bring our expenses up to date? And then secondly, would you consider giving on a regular basis to the ongoing expenses of the Anchored in Jesus radio program? My friends, it's been a long time since I've personally come to you on the radio to ask for your help. I can assure you that every penny you give goes directly to the radio ministry. I have never received any financial remuneration from the radio ministry, and we have no paid staff. All those who help produce and broadcast the show are volunteers. In these perilous times, I'm more committed than ever to preach the word of God to those who need it, regardless of their ability to pay. I want to take what I preach on Sunday mornings and make it available all over the world through the internet and this radio broadcast. Would you continue to help us do that? Of course, I continue to solicit your prayer support. This ministry functions and is able to stay on the air through your prayers. But we also have financial needs that help us to get the word of God out. You can make your checks payable to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. That's P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Or you can give online at the Anchored in Jesus website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org. And once you get to our website, you can hit the Donate Now page. Thank you in advance for your help. I'm trusting the Lord for His provision, and I'm asking you to seek the Lord on how you can participate in helping us. Thank you for listening, and to God be the glory.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude, Do You See a Ghost in Your Storm? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Do You See a Ghost in Your Storm?
I'm going to go back to what I said last week, that you can't give God worth like you need to. All right, now I'm getting ready to get in trouble, but that's okay. By staying at home. You know, we looked at last week, a holy convocation. God said that He wants His people to come together. And let me say this. Let me give another side note here while I'm on this, right? And so that was one of the things as we talked yesterday is the whole idea of koinonia is to fellowship. And you can't do that at home. I thought I'd get some more amens. I'll just say one amen, right? You can't koinonia at home. You know, the only thing, like I said, you koinonia with Pastor Pillow and Reverend Sheets. You know, that's the only people you fellowshipping with at home. So you come to the house of the Lord. You be with the people of God. You fellowship with the people of God. So that's why we felt that it was important to give people that time to connect, that time for people to come together. And that's one of the values of coming to the house of God, is that you connect with other people. So, you know, the whole idea of, again, worship, coming and giving worth to something. In the New Testament, the Greek word is proskuneo, and it means what? This word means to bow down in reverence. Now, as we take into consideration these two concepts, what does it mean to worship? It means to give God worth and then bow down and worship Him. Now, it might not necessarily be getting on your knees. It might not be falling on your face. But it might just mean in the quietness of your heart that you bow down in your heart and you give God reverence. You give God worth in your life. And so the Bible says that the disciples did what? Worshipped Him. They realized who He was. And they bowed down in their hearts, and they gave Him worth. They worshiped Him. So I began to think, well, what did they see that caused them to worship and overcome their fear? And I saw four things in this passage. The first thing I saw is that they saw power. They saw power. Look at verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on water. Now, I don't know about you, but it's got to be a powerful individual that walks on water. There was a pastor and deacon. They took one of the church members out, new Christian, fishing. And they didn't go too far from the shore, and they were out there fishing, and the pastor said, man, I left the drinks in the car. So he got out of the boat and looked a little bit, and then he walked on the water and went and got the drink and came back. The deacon said, oh, man, I forgot the sandwiches. And he looked and walked, got the sandwiches, and came back. New Christian, he fell in the water. They had to pull him out. So they got back in the boat. Pastor said, I forgot something else. He looked, walked on the water, went and got it. The deacon said, I forgot something else. He walked on the water, went and got it. And they were standing over there, new Christian, right? He said, man, if they can do it, I can do it. He got out in the water and began to sink again. And the pastor said, why don't you go tell him where them stones are that we're walking on? Why don't you go tell him where them stones are that we're walking on? You can't walk on water, right? You can't walk on water. There's only one person that can walk on water. That's Jesus Christ. He walked on water. And do you see the power and the ability of an individual to be able to walk on water? And at first, when the disciples thought they saw a ghost, they didn't realize that. But when he got to the boat and they began to reflect on it, they said, man, what kind of man is this that he can walk on water? And they began to think about that thing. And they fell down in worship. And what is Jesus saying to them? That when you realize the power that I have, that you can face your fears. That if you realize that I'm bigger than any ghost in your life. That if you realize I'm bigger than any circumstance in your life. I like what David said. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that taunts the armies of the living God? Who is this problem that seeks to destroy the life of one of God's people? Who is this problem that seeks to instill fear in the heart of God's child and render them ineffective in service? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And David took his slingshot and knocked out the giant, hit him right in the forehead with a rock. And the guy fell to the ground. And before he fell, he said, "Nothing has ever entered into my mind like this before." Knocked him out. Faced his fear. Why? Because he knew he had an omnipotent God on his side. And we can face our fears because we have an omnipotent God on our side. The second thing that I saw was passion. That Jesus had a passion for them. Look at verse 27. Jesus straightway spoke unto them, saying, "Hey, man, hey, brothers, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. It's I." And if there's nothing else that the disciples should have known, is that they should have known Jesus loved them. That he loved them. And that he took care of them. That he ministered to them. And that they walked with him for 2.5 years, the 3 years, and they could see this love that this man, they could see the passion that he had for him, that he told Peter that one time, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. In the garden, he prayed that Father, let them not enter into temptation. Jesus had a heart, he had a passion for his disciples, and he said, "Man, it's me. Do you understand that? It's me. Don't be afraid. I love you. You haven't wandered so far away from me that you've wandered away from my love. That you're still in the center of my love. You're still in the center of my concern. You're still in the center of my heart." And that even though this fear might be attacking you, this fear might be coming against you, keep in mind that if nobody else is showing you love at this time, that I am. And somewhere I would think that the disciples saw that passion that Jesus had for them. And you know the thing about it, when they looked at the fear, guess what? When they looked at the fear, the power was gone. When they looked at the fear, the passion was gone. They weren't thinking about the love of Christ. All they were thinking about was this ghost. And they were afraid. But Jesus said, in the midst of the storms, see me, see God in it. And let your heart be reminded, man, I love you. I love you. You know, that's the beautiful thing about Christianity, is that a lot of other religions teach you that there's a God that's out there somewhere, and he's just kind of waiting for you to make a mistake so he can pop you on the head to get you back in line. But we have a God who loves us, and that when we are at our weakest, that he loves us the most. And the scripture, you know, it says that God draws near to those who have a broken heart. That means that when you are fearful, that at no other time, I mean, God is omnipresent. And we know that he's always around. We know that he's always there. But when we are going through something, man, God is, he draws closer to us. I've told the story before, and I usually tell it at home-going services, about the lady who was going for counseling. And the counselor was working with her and trying to finally figure out what her problem was. And her problem was is that she loved one child more than she loved another child. And she said, "I don't." She said, "I love all my children the same." He said, "No, it's evident from me working with you that you love one child more than another one." And she said, "But I don't." And he said, "Well, if you're not going to be honest, we're going to have to terminate the session." And so he terminated. The lady was walking out, put her hand on the door, turned back around, said, "You know what? You're right. You're exactly right. I do love one child more than another one." She said, "When one child is hurting, I love that child a little bit more. That when one child needs me, I love that child a little bit more. And God is the exact same way, that God loves all his children the same. But my brothers and sisters, that when you are dealing with issues in your life, that God loves you a little bit more. That when you are dealing with fear, that God draws, he knows that he needs to be extra close to you at that time. You need to sense his presence like you've never sensed it before, because you need him and he loves you and he draws close to you. The disciples saw the passion of their Savior, one that loved them and one that had their best interests at heart. We see here, the other thing that I like is God, and I heard one of my teachers way back long ago said this. I never forgot it. Never forgot it. God is too wise to make a mistake, and he's too loving to hurt us. And I don't know about you, but I think I would write that one down somewhere, because I did when I first heard it. God is too wise to make a mistake, and he is too loving to hurt us. God is not going to hurt you. God wants to heal you. God wants to take you into his arms and love you. The third thing that we see is that they realized they had his presence. Look at verse 32. And when it says they, him and Peter, when they were come into the boat, the wind ceased. Yeah, I love the other story that we have about the storm that came up, right? And Jesus was on the boat asleep. And again, the disciples began to be fearful. And Jesus comes up, and what does he do? Speaks peace, and the storm stops. Here's the thing. Did they not realize who was on the boat? Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you realize who is in the boat? Don't you realize who is in your life? Don't you realize that you have the presence of Almighty God? And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. I was telling this story one time, and they actually played it on the radio, and we had a family that heard me preaching, heard this story. Y'all might remember, the man came to church, gave the testimony, and joined the church. And now they're here in the church. One night, I was coming back from doing a revival, and my car broke down, ran out of gas. In the middle of nowhere, just ran out of gas. I'm talking about between Danville, Virginia, and Lynchburg, Virginia. Nothing out there. And I remember, man, getting out of my car, I said, well, I'm going to try to hitchhike. Maybe, this was like 11:30 at night. And I stuck out my finger, and this big semi just blew by me, man. It took my breath away. I said, well, that's not going to work. So I got back in the car, and I said, well, I guess I'm here till the morning. And at first I began to fear. Like, man, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And then all of a sudden, I'm serious. All of a sudden, a peace came over me, and the Lord said, Bill, I'm with you. I'm with you. And at that point, man, I tell you, just this peace came over me, and the rest of the night, I just stayed in the car, and when it was light, I got out and started walking. Next thing I know, the preacher's wife, who I had did the revival for, she came up and she was looking for me. My wife had called her and said, man, my husband didn't come home last night. I wonder what was going on. So she came looking for me. I tell you what, there was never such a sight for sore eyes. but the peace of God, because of his, I just sensed his presence in that car that night. And it just calmed my spirit. Where fear was wanting to grip me and terrorize me, peace of God just came. And that's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. You've got my presence. Do you know who is in the boat with you? That you can get it. You ever go to an event and you know that you couldn't get in on your own, but you was with somebody, right? And the only reason you got in is because that person was with you. That's what Jesus is saying. Man, you know, do you know who's with you? Do you know who's with you? If you understand that, everything's going to be all right. And then finally, they realized this caused them to worship his position. They realized, finally, that they had come into contact with the second person of the Trinity. Now, I'm going to show you something here in a second. What did they say? They said, truly, this is the Son of God. They realized that his position. They realized that God is a Trinity and that, man, we are with the second person of the Trinity. Truly, this is not a Son of God, as the Jehovah's Witnesses want to tell us, but this is the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity. Now, let me say this before I close. This was a turning point in the life of the disciples. And the reason, it completely changed their mind about who Jesus was. Look at Mark chapter 6. And this helps us to figure out that contradiction between these two statements about the disciples worshiping him and saying that he was the Son of God, and also them saying that they hardened their hearts. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. We have the same story. The same story of Jesus walking on water. Exact same story. But at the end, look what it says in verse 52. It says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now, if you go back, we don't have time to do it, but right before he walked on water, what did he do? He fed 5,000. Right before he walked on water, he fed 5,000. Mark, in 52, skips over the fact that Jesus walked on water, and he goes back to what? That when they saw the miracle of feeding the 5,000, that they continued to harden their heart. You know what it means to harden your heart? That they could not receive, they did not learn. That when Jesus fed 5,000, that instead of them saying, man, this is the Son of God, what did they do? They hardened their heart. They didn't receive that. Jesus had been doing miracles all that time. And each time they did it, that's good. You know, that's good. Yeah. Well, he's doing miracles. It wasn't until he walked on water that they understood who he was. Because even after he did that miracle of feeding, they didn't know who he was. They didn't understand who he was. But look what Mark says right before he says they hardened their heart. It says in verse 51, and he went up to them in the boat, and the wind ceased. Look at this. And they were amazed in themselves beyond measure. And they wondered. What happened when he came on the boat? When he came on the boat, they were amazed beyond measure, and they said, truly, this is the Son of God. What's it going to take for you to realize who Jesus is? He's been working in your life. He's been doing miracles. What do you need him to do? Walk on water before you begin to believe? He's able to deal with any fear that we have in our life. And when we go through our storms, who do we see? Do we see a ghost that causes us to be afraid? Or do we see God that causes us?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored to Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Jesus Came to Walk with Us Through Dark Times of Loneliness on this journey. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Do You See a Ghost in Your Storm? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Do You See a Ghost in Your Storm? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Do you see a ghost in your storm? Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.